As you all know, we're discussing the topic of tongues, the gift of tongues. We started early this morning at 9:30. We got done with lesson one. We're going to hit into lesson two. And as you all know, we're going to eat, get filled up on hot dogs, and have a lesson three, because it's a very important topic that I want you all to understand. And that's why we're addressing the issue today. Now, hopefully, most of you, at least your family, received a handout today. As I told the Sunday school class, this is simple answers to these questions. We go into the answers a little more in depth throughout the lesson, as you will see. But hopefully, you have that. Does everybody have that handout to take home with them today? Well, last hour, we learned a couple things. But before we start talking about that, let's have a word of prayer and ask for His guidance. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you now and we ask that you would give us your wisdom today as we open up the Word of God. I pray that you'd give me strength to preach this message. And Lord, give the congregation endurance as well, as it is longer than normal. And I pray, Lord, that you would just guide us, help us to come today with a new, fresh desire to learn from the Word of God. Lord, we hear and help us to do this. We desire to become more godly men and women. And we do that by listening to your Holy Spirit and by listening to your Word. Give us the strength now. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, last hour, we learned that the Bible gives us a definition of what tongues are. There's a lot of people that have different definitions of what the gift of tongues, what it is exactly. But the fact of the matter is, in the Word of God, it tells us that it is an established language already. So, like an example would be French, Spanish, German, English. That would be an example of what tongues really are when they are defined in the Word of God. I can't go back to last lesson to prove that to you because we have to keep moving along, but that is the answer we came up with. It's an established language already that the person who was given the gift had never spoken before. So, like myself, I only speak English. If I was back there at that time and the Lord gave me a gift, I would be speaking in. We'll use French again. I would speak in French. Well, I don't know how to speak in French, but God would have given me that gift to glorify Him to individuals that speak that particular language. We learn that one of the reasons that God gave this gift was to establish the church. To establish the church. That's one reason. There's other reasons we're going to talk about today. We also learn that God, the Holy Spirit, is the only one that gave this gift. It is not something that can be taught of men or women to another individual. It is only given by the selection of the Holy Spirit. We learned that Jesus Christ prophesied about the tongues and other gifts to his disciples. We learned that the first generation believers, every believer received the gift of tongues. We learned that as a sign and other things, healings. But we learned also that by the time that Paul wrote the book of Corinthians, that those gifts were already starting to phase out. So you have Jesus Christ in the 30s AD telling this to the disciples. And then you have the Apostle Paul in the 50s AD, so only 20 years later, already addressing the issue because those gifts were starting to fade out and every believer was not receiving that gift anymore. It was just those ones who were directly influenced by the apostles, who were led to Christ by the apostles and disciples. So we learned about that. So they were starting to phase out. We also learned that Paul had to address the issue in the church that they were using their gift wrong. wrongly. They were not using it properly, and so he had to address the issue. And in some cases, you would find in the churches, in the congregation, that the gift of tongues was being used, or something like it, and that God would refuse to give an interpretation of those tongues. And that was a sign that they were not of God, but of the individual, or possibly something else. But we see here, those are some things we learned. Established language, never spoken before by the one who had the gift. So that's important. It's given by the Holy Spirit. They were starting to phase out. It was for the purpose of establishing the church. And so a foundation. And I use the example that when you build a house, you pour the concrete down. You don't build a house. When you're building a house, you don't throw down your foundation and then put another foundation on it, then another foundation, then another foundation. You build the house once. And tongues were used to establish the church. They were one of the gifts out of many different things that were used for the foundation of the church that we have the pleasure of living in today. So off of those things, our church was built. We're going to move ahead now in our lesson. So those are the things we learned. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to read a lot in this chapter. As I told Sunday school class, hope you brought your Bible, because that's where we get our answers from, is the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting in verse, we left off. We'll start in verse 5. This is at a time when tongues were being used in the church, but they were also at the same time already starting to be phased out in the Christian circles. He says, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, and may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, that none of them is without signification. Therefore I know not the meaning of the voice. I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray, that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, when men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in to one that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you has a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. And we'll just skip ahead to verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Also verse 39. I don't want to ignore that. I'm sorry. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently in order. Now remember the basis, the context in which Paul is addressing this issue. He's addressing the church here in Corinth who are misusing the gift of tongues. This gift is already starting to phase out. However, it has not phased out yet. There's no way that the Apostle Paul can tell them, stop speaking in tongues. He can't say that. They are still in the transitional period of building the church. But he makes a mention, don't forbid it, but he also gives instructions to this church of how to properly use it. You had a congregation, probably many of the congregations were struggling in this area. We had learned in the first lesson that there is an order of importance. Tongues used to be way up here, very important. They were establishing the church. But in the book of Corinthians, it then starts putting it lower on the list of things of importance in the church because it was starting to fall off the scene, if you will. So Paul, he gives these truths. So we get from this passage that tongues along with other gifts are to be done properly. You don't have a bunch of people coming in and all giving their own revelation or their own idea of what the Bible is saying and a bunch of people just talking. It has to be done in order. That's probably why today you have just a teacher that stands up and teaches the congregation, because when you do it the other way, it's very hard to do it in order. Okay, someone else's turn. If you go to church where they ask for testimonies, that's cool, that's awesome, but sometimes it can get out of order. And what happens is then a person who is giving a testimony, as an example, they just start gossiping during the testimony. That happened here too. People were prophesying, and the Word of God tells us that those elders in the midst were supposed to say if that was actually true or not. So if one of you started speaking and started saying something about the Word of God and said that Jesus Christ wore a clown suit to the cross. You know, that's what I read. I could say, no, he did not wear a clown suit to the cross. Because it'd be something ridiculous. You see how that would work, and it would cause confusion and everything else. So it's probably why we do it the way we do it today. It's because of things like that. So at this time in church history, tongues should not be forbidden when Paul was writing this. But they needed to be exercised properly. And we will see, is this supposed to continue in the church as the church went on? But let's stop for a moment. When we look at the Word of God, we need to rightly divide it. The book of Timothy tells us that. A lot of times, individuals will take verses and they create a theology off of a couple verses and they take them completely out of context. That happens all the time. But let's just stop for a moment. Let's say that what we are learning today, what I am teaching, is false. Let's just Think about this. Let's pretend for a moment that tongues really are real today, that the gift of tongues is still given. Okay? In churches today, the way that they practice tongues, after what we just read in Corinthians chapter 14, the way it's practiced in churches today, are they practicing tongues according to the Word of God in churches that maybe you have attended? They're not. Is there a church somewhere that is? I don't know. I've never been in one. I've been into charismatic churches. I've seen tongues. I've witnessed tongues take place quite a few times in my life. But every time I have personally witnessed, and I'm not using my experience over the Word of God, but they don't line up to the Word of God. It does not line up to the Word of God. So if you say tongues are for today, at least do it according to how the Word of God says you should be doing it. Now, granted, we just learned that the context of the Scripture is not for today. He is speaking to the church at that day how to deal with the tongue situation that was happening. So what happens in a lot of churches today is it's not biblical, and here's how. You will go into a church and you have a bunch of different people, 80% of the individuals, they're all speaking in this unknown tongue. And nowhere in the church facility do you find somebody interpreting that tongue. Or you have churches that the people speak in tongues and then they have ushers that walk through and the person has to speak the tongue to the usher and then they tell them what they just said. Is that biblical? No, because it's supposed to be to the edifying of the church. Remember the purpose of tongues. One main purpose was to establish the church. Now ask another question. Is the church established today? It is. The church is already established today. So we have to ask the question then, what is the need of the gift of tongues? So just think about that, ponder that. We look at this and we see how tongues are used and we have to ask the question, if it doesn't line up with Scripture, then it must not be of God. Then who is it from? Well, could be just from the person, personality, human flesh, or it could be from the evil one, which is Satan. But it's not of God. And I don't say that rudely or condemning. I say that it doesn't line up with the Word of God, therefore it is not of God. There are Christians today who are fooled. They're saved. They know Jesus Christ is their Savior. They've trusted on Him for their salvation, but throughout their journey in their Christian walk, they have just received bad teaching or bad theology. We can't judge them for that. It's just that they have received a false teaching. But the reason this false teaching is so dangerous is because Satan can use it to keep that believer from having a closer, more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I have many charismatic friends that I've met through the years, off and on too, and when I've always asked them questions about their experience that they have, and it always comes down to the same thing. Not one of them has ever known anything they have ever said. Everyone that I have talked to has learned it from someone else, where they had sat down in a living room or something like that, and someone said, all right, if you want the gift, pray for it. Sit down and then just close your eyes and then just speak whatever comes to your mind. It's not going to make sense to you. It's going to feel uncomfortable, but just speak whatever comes to your mind. And then they, of course, do it, and they always say, I felt uncomfortable at first, but after I did it more and more, I got used to it. And I just started doing it. So I have the gift in tongues. The question is, we learned in the first hour, who gives the gift? God. Can man teach somebody how to speak in a tongue? We also learn that the tongue is an established language. So is that person, he is better than to sit in on a couch and just speak. He's better to just go to the library and get a book of how to learn Spanish, right? Because that will actually teach you what the definition of tongues is in the Bible, which is an established language. It is not jibber jabber. It is not God speak. It is not an angel language. It is an established language that person has never spoke before. And so Satan has used God-fearing, God-loving people, even the person teaching the other person, they love God. They want this other person to experience what they're experiencing. But the fact is they're experiencing an effect that is, they're really, it's a placebo effect. It's something that is not real. It is something that is born out of the flesh. And Satan loves that, because if you can go to Almighty God and speak in something you don't even understand, it makes it very hard for you to get answers. Speak to God in the language that He has blessed you with, so you know what you're saying, and He speaks to you, and He works in your spirit. See, the Holy Spirit helps us with our prayers. He helps us. The Bible says with things that can't be uttered, He helps us. And so our charismatic brothers and sisters will say, see, the Holy Spirit says the things we can't utter. I know, but why are you uttering it then? No, He is bringing things to our attention that we do not know is there. That's what that verse means. When we pray and we are in tune with the Holy Spirit, He brings things to our attention that we had no idea was going on inside of us, and that we can communicate that understanding with our Heavenly Father. That's what those verses mean, but it gets twisted. So we have our brothers and sisters in Christ who we love, and they love us, and we have this debate, but the fact of the matter is they're getting this temporal false edification. And Satan loves that. He loves to keep the believer out of fellowship with God. The person who is speaking in those tongues feels as though they're in fellowship with God, but they're really not. They feel edified and good, but if you ask them, how are you edified? What did you just learn from your Heavenly Father? They wouldn't be able to tell you, at least in the cases that I have seen. One argument that comes from our brothers and sisters that say they have the gift is they say it's a language of angels, or one only God knows. But we have stated it's an established language. They say this because they don't know what they are personally saying. So that's just what it must be. One of my individuals that I know, one thing that he used to say is that God gave me this gift to speak in this unknown tongue. I don't know what I'm saying, but I speak that. And the reason it can actually make it up to heaven is because Satan is the Lord of the air. And if he knows what I'm saying, he can come by and he can steal my prayer from ever getting to God. Friends, where in the Word of God do we see that? Does the Bible teach us that Satan is the Lord of the air? Yes. But do you think that Satan can fly through the air and just swat people's prayers like flies and they'll never reach to heaven? Number one, the Holy Spirit of God resides within me. It doesn't go in the air anyway. Tongues are the thing that goes in the air, we read. It just goes in the air. Almighty God is within us. Satan does not have that power. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. And it saddens me. It doesn't make me mad. It makes me sad that an individual would believe that. That they would allow Satan to hold that much power over their life when they have the ultimate power, the Holy Spirit, deep within them. Satan can't steal prayers. It has nothing to do with prayers. One verse they use to say it's a God language or something that is from an angel language is back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's turn back there. Many Christians, even those who don't believe in tongues, struggle with this verse. They'll say, okay, there, and I did for the longest time too. It makes it kind of hard to understand. You might think, okay, well, I know it has to be established language, but what's this? Are there two types? Are there two types of tongues in the Bible? The answer is no. But 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13, or actually we'll read a 1 through 3, sorry, typo there. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sound as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So what did Paul mean here? Our brothers and sisters on the other side would say that Paul spoke in the tongues of men and angels. But a quick look at the Greek will show you otherwise. I know the King James, sometimes it's harder to understand in the Old English and that sort of thing. So believe it or not, as I was looking at other translations in accordance with the Greek, actually the New Living Translation had the best description of this verse. And this matches up. It said, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Paul here is giving an extreme example. He could not speak in every known language, nor could he speak in the angelic language. Now, I believe Paul had the gift of tongues. That's obvious. He tells us that he does. So don't get me wrong there. But he in no way is saying he spoke in angel speak. Again, listen. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Does that make sense? If I could do this, it wouldn't make a difference. That's why he goes on in those verses. If I could prophesy, if I could have all knowledge, if I could have all faith, if I could do all these things, they'd be worthless without love. They'd be worthless without love. That is the point he's trying to get across. He is not admitting that he speaks angel speak. Okay? So don't allow that argument to stand. He goes on in the verses, starting in verse 4. Told you a lot of scripture today. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinking no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth, in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly. But then, face to face, now I know in part. But then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now we get to another example in our study in verse 8, debated by many godly men and women. And these following thoughts are taken by many of our faith and me personally. And we're getting to this in our third lesson in more detail, okay? So I'm just going to give you my opinion right now. But then we'll get into more detail and I'll explain it in the third lesson. I believe that tongues have ceased, if you couldn't tell already. These verses give to us three time periods. The time when the gifts of prophecy, tongues, and knowledge are in force. We also get from these verses a separate time, the time when these gifts have failed, ceased, or vanished away. And then we have a time, a third time, when only love remains, but faith and hope do not remain. This in itself shows us that prophecy, tongues, and knowledge are at a different time than faith, hope, and love. And that at that time of this writing, Paul was looking. He was searching. He was looking for something else to replace those gifts. He was looking for something to replace those gifts. I believe that being the completion of Scripture to use as their standard and guide. I say this not because I just want to believe it, but because as we look at this study, we look deeply at it, and we look at the actual reason the gifts were given, it makes it clear that that is what it is talking about. Remember back, we read some verses in chapter 14 where it said the purpose was to establish a church, but also for a sign. It said in verse 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, meaning the Jews, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. So even with all of this miraculous activity going on, they will not hear them. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign. That's the other purpose. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. You see, we must understand something, that in the Old Testament, when foreign tongues were spoken, what it meant for Israel. And we will see it was so that they would always turn back to God. He would use it as a judgment. If you do a quick look at the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 11, Deuteronomy 28, Jeremiah chapter 5, Isaiah chapter 28, you will see the exact same pattern. And that is, God had a message for his people. The people refused to listen to God. God causes tongues to be heard as a sign of judgment, and then Jewish dispersion follows. Every time in the Old Testament, except once in Isaiah chapter 33, and that is talking about later in the future, the millennial kingdom. This is why this is so important. God uses tongues that they will hear other tongues of judgment because of invasions and other things. They'll hear these tongues. But then in Isaiah 33, he says, you won't hear tongues in the millennial reign of Christ because you are no longer under judgment. You are now in the kingdom. So you will not hear. You see, God in his word is making a distinction to the Jewish people that tongues were used as a sign of judgment to them. And at that point in the future, when they do not hear tongues, they can feel relieved because they are now have entered into the millennial reign of Christ. How does that measure up with the New Testament? Well, what we're looking at, tongues are used to let the Jewish people know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. God has a message for his people. It was to authenticate Jesus Christ as the Messiah, to be shown as a sign of judgment if you did not believe, and also to establish the church at that time. Those are the three main reasons. As we compare the Old Testament to the New, I'm going to say it again so you understand. God has a message for the people. The people refuse to listen to God. God causes tongues to be heard because they didn't trust in Christ, and dispersion follows. at this particular time in history, because the Jewish people refused to believe as a whole, as a nation, that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah, punishment would come. Dispersion would follow. Jesus Christ prophesied that Jerusalem would fall, and it was because they rejected him. You look at tongues. This is why I stated I believe tongues probably ceased at around 70 AD. And that's only my opinion, okay? But the reason I say that is because in 70 AD is when the judgment fell. Jerusalem was taken over and destroyed. The temple was destroyed. And until today, the Jews have no temple. Judgment has already taken place. So when Jesus Christ says, hey, trust me, or there will be punishment, I will give you a sign just like I did in the Old Testament. You better turn to me. They said no. Judgment fell. And that was the year that it fell. And from that point on, there is no need for the purpose of tongues. Some could argue it could go past that. That's okay. I'm fine with that. They could say it went past to maybe when John wrote Revelation in the 90s AD. Okay, I'm cool with that thought too. Either way, it doesn't matter. The point is you had the final word of God right around that time. You had the writings of these believers and a little bit after that. So we're talking first century at the most. Okay? So when we look at that, we look at the reason to establish the church. Interesting. To be assigned to the Jews? That's interesting for judgment. So I have to ask myself, why are tongues being used today in churches? If the Word of God tells us these are the reasons, what is the reason today that our brothers and sisters in Christ say they are using it? And in many cases, they say it is because it gets them feeling closer to their Savior, Jesus Christ. But does that line up with the Word of God? And the answer is actually no. We all desire to be close to God, but the Bible tells us how to be. It is through prayer, and it's through reading the Word of God, and it is through obeying Him. That's how we get closer to God. It doesn't tell us to do these other things. So before we move into, we're going to close here in a word of prayer, but just remember those things. We're going to do a quick run through of lesson 1 and 2 when we come back. And for our last lesson, we'll go through an overview then. I won't have to go through one right now. But let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. There are so many things that are part of this topic that we must discuss. I pray, Lord, that as we look at it, we understand the reason for that gift, the reason for everything, really, is given to us in your word. Pray that we would abide by that. Lord, as we go downstairs here in a few moments, I pray that you would bless that food upon our bodies and help us have a good time of fellowship. And when we return, help us to come with new fervor to learn from the Word of God. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.